Let me ask you to turn back, please, to the 33rd Psalm. I believe that God wants His people to be equipped to live in the day in which they live.
Amen.
I believe that God's Word, God's Spirit, God's promise, and God's eternal life does not begin when we cross over the other side. But it begins when we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe that God's Word gives us instruction and exhortation, encouragement and comfort concerning the things that we're confronted with here in this life. In other words, I believe that God's Word tells us and assures us that we are not to be doormats for the rest of the world to run over while we're here in this life, only to convert into praisers and worshipers when we reach the pearly gates. God has given us eternal life to enjoy here, in this life. And He has told us in His Word how we are to live here on this earth. I believe God has provided for us healing in the atonement, in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not so we could get healed in our bodies when we go to heaven, we won't be sick up there. I believe He's provided healing for us so that we can have it here. I believe He's provided prosperity for us here in this life. Not so we'd have it when we're in heaven, for goodness sakes, the streets that we walk on are going to be pure gold. The walls of the houses that we live in are not going to be stone and wood, but they're pure gold. The foundations of the city are overlaid with precious gems, some of which we've never even seen before. The gold is so pure, so absolutely pure. They're paying here on the earth $600-800 an ounce. For impure gold, the pure thing is transparent. You can see through it. It's so absolutely pure. That's the way it's going to be in heaven. We're not going to need prosperity when we go to heaven. We're going to need it when we're here. I believe that God has given us power over the devil while we're here in this life. There are no devils in heaven. We're not going to need that power when we get there. And so I believe that God has given us every good gift for godliness in this life. Every good gift He's given us so that we can live this life. And I believe the Lord wants to minister to us today concerning some current events. And before we begin to do that, let's just go to prayer together and let's ask God to minister to us by the Spirit. We want to know what He's saying today, all right? Heavenly Father, we come before You in the name of Jesus, approaching Your holy Word. We know, O God, that by the words of the Lord were the heavens made. We know that the word of the Lord is right. We know that it's true and we know that it's faithful. We know that it's alive and it's for us today. We know, our Father, that You want to speak to us today and You want to feed and nourish our spirit man on Your word. We hunger and thirst for that today, Father. You know our need. And we invite You now to, by Your Holy Spirit, speak the words that You would have us hear through these lips. I thank You, Father, for the anointing of Your Spirit that is within me. And I have every confidence, Father, and I confess before You and before these people that that which comes from my mouth will be anointed of Your Spirit. For You gave of Your Spirit unto me forever, to abide forever. I offer myself to You, Father, spirit, soul, and body, to be used as Your instrument today and Your vessel to channel the good, clean, living water to the people of God. And I thank You, Father, for the anointing that is upon every ear and every heart that is here. For You said a few moments ago, Lord, that You were pleased with our praise and that You were already dwelling among us because of our praise. Therefore, we know that Your anointing is here and that You will take of the word which is spoken, and that You'll minister it to the hearts and the minds of each who is here gathered. Give us, Father, revelation, understanding, that we might live as the light of the world here and now today. Tell us of our responsibilities and our opportunities as members of the body of Christ, as the family of God in the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The world seems to be very caught up in these days because of current events. We hear from our capital that we are closer to war, world war, possibly Holocaust, than we have been in the last 35 years since the end of World War II. The politicians of the world are busy scurrying around from capital to capital, trying to mend fences, make alliances, trying to protect themselves and their countries, trying to do whatever they can to see that they would have the upper hand in whatever kind of conflict should come, whether it be cold or whether it be hot. We've been at war, cold, for many years, détente or no détente. Whether or not that war is going to get hot, I don't know. I don't know whether this particular conflict is going to erupt, whether it's going to explode. I do know that the day is coming that a tremendous worldwide conflict will explode on this globe. God's Word tells us about it. I don't know whether this is it or not. It could possibly be. If these are the kinds of times that we're living in, how should we then live? What is the responsibility or the opportunity as the body of Christ living in the kind of world that we're living in today? Shaky. And I believe God's Word will tell us something about it this morning. Part of it is in this 33rd Psalm. Follow with me, beginning to read, please, in the 10th verse. Now, I want you to listen to these verses in light of what I've just shared with you. God speaks so clearly to the world today, if the world will just listen. God speaks so clearly in words that were written thousands of years ago, 3,000 years ago approximately, these words were penned. And they are just as true today as they were then. Now, if anybody is going to minister this message to the world, it will not be the heathen, because they don't know the message. It will only be the children of God that will be able to minister. Verse number 11, the counsel of the Lord. No, I said verse 10, didn't I? The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. He brings the counsels of heathen to naught, and he maketh the devices of the people of none effect. All of this flitting from capital to capital and from secret room to secret room, much more could effectively be done in the privacy and the quiet of one's own prayer closet on a person's own knees. The counsel of the Lord, he said, standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, and he beholdeth all the sons of men. And from the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Now, what does he mean by that? I read in the newspaper where some of our defense experts say that we do not have sufficient strength, we do not have sufficient military power or sufficient military capability to throw off a Soviet thrust in the Middle East. I read in the newspapers where our experts say that if we go to war in the Middle East, that we are not able to defend ourselves there unless we fire off our nuclear weapons. That in conventional warfare, we can't win in that area. God's Word says there is no king that is saved by the multitude of his soldiers. There is no nation that is delivered by the majesty of its own strength. There is no mighty man that is delivered by strength. The things that happen in the world affairs are not based on the size or the strength of a man's army. They are based upon the effectual fervent prayer of righteous men, and they are based upon the relationship that a nation has with the Lord God Almighty. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It doesn't matter if we have 4 times the soldiers, 18 times the tanks, 20,000 times the jet aircraft. No nation or no king will be saved or delivered by the strength of its armies. And all of that kind of discussion is heathen counsel. You understand what I'm saying to you? It has no effect in terms of the plan of the ages. Beloved, Gideon took 300 fearless men into the valley of the Midianites and destroyed hundreds of thousands of their soldiers. Hundreds of thousands by 300 fearless men without a shot ever being fired. The book of Judges, chapter 7. In the last days, the book of Revelation tells us, when all of the armies of the earth are gathered in the valley of Megiddo for the final last battle that this earth will ever see, there will be one army there of 200 million men in one army. And there will be many other armies there gathered. And that battle will be won by the Lord Jesus Christ as He speaks the word. Victory will come to the kingdom of God. A king is not saved by the multitude of his armies. Verse number 17, a horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in His holy name. In the past couple of weeks, the Lord has continued to give me 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I've read this passage of Scripture I don't know how many times, just in the last couple of weeks. The Spirit of the Lord would whisper 1 Timothy 2. I would sit down with my Bible and say, "Where do you want me to read?" It's 1 Timothy 2. And I would read it, and I would read it, and I would read it. And I didn't know why he wanted me to read it until this morning. And what he is trying to get across to me, and through me, I believe he's trying to get across to all of us here in the house of God today, is contained in the first 4 verses. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What is it that God wants the church of Jesus Christ to do? He wants us to fall on our knees and pray. He wants us to intercede and supplicate before Him on behalf of our nation, on behalf of our president, on behalf of our Secretary of Defense, on behalf of our Joint Chiefs of Staff, upon our behalf of our armies. And those that are making influential policy decisions as to what our responses are going to be. I want you to know beloved, that those men who are in Washington today, who are guiding the affairs of this nation, I don't care whether you're Republican or whether you're Democrat. I don't care whether you're green, white, or blue. I do not care what your political persuasion is, although I encourage you to exercise your right. But we have a man there who is president. We have a Congress there who has been called to legislate the laws of our land. And I want you to know today that God has put them there. Regardless of whether they believe in God or not, He's put them there. They are there by the decree of God. He raises up governments and He pulls them down at His own will. And some of you aren't too sure about that, so I want to show it to you. In the book of Daniel, if you'll turn with me, please. Chapter number 4. God's Word, no place tells us that we are to judge and condemn and jerk down our governmental authorities. We are to pray for them. We are not to speak evil of those who are dignitaries over us, but we are to pray for them. We are to intercede for them. They are coming under tremendous attack, don't you know? Even if they know God, it's a hard place to stand. And they need our prayers. Daniel chapter 4, verse number 17 reads this. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now why does He do that? For His own will and His own purpose. Not very often explained to us. God is in control of the affairs of the kingdom of man, and He sets up those in authority that He wants to have there, even though they may be the basest of men. Now turn with me to the book of Romans. Some would say, well, that's in the Old Testament. That's not true today. Romans chapter 13, verse number 1 and 2. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The men that rule and govern over us, even though they may be wicked men, are ordained in their office of God, the Word says. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power or the authority, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Well then, preacher, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to fall upon our knees and take advantage of the covenant of prayer that God has given us. We're to take the sword of the Spirit and wage war in the realm of the Spirit on behalf of those that have authority over us. We are to intercede in our understanding and in other tongues. We are to make supplication before the God of heaven that He who has restored authority in the earth to us by the power of the risen, resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, that we would make our influence felt in the kingdoms and the councils of men through prayer. That is the most powerful force that we have available to us today. Prayer. 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 Proverbs number 29, chapter number 29, verse number 2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Wicked men do rule sometimes. Men who do not have the judgment, the best kind of judgment. I'll tell you what kind of judgment I want our people to have. I want David Jones, who is the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, I want him to get his counsel from Almighty God. I want Harold Brown, our Secretary of Defense, I want him to get his counsel from Almighty God. I want our president, Jimmy Carter, I want them to get him to get his counsel from Almighty God. I want Sam Nunn and those that are on the Armed Services Committee. I want them to get their counsel from Almighty God. I've got two sons that are of draftable age. And I'm not too old to fight either. And many of you fall in that same situation. I want my government led by the Holy Spirit of God. And insofar as I can do so, I make intercession and supplication and prayer for my president and for those that are in authority over me, that they will be open to the wisdom of God, that they will do what God wants done, that the people of God will live in a peaceable land, one blessed of God. Now, because of that, I have no fear for the future. I have absolutely no fear. I watch the news broadcast the same as you do. But there is not in my heart or my mind one bit of fear. It's just not there. I praise God for it. He has given me of His peace. The peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand why I don't have some fear, but I don't have any. It's non-existent. Because I've put my trust in my God. I've put my confidence in my God. And I know that if war should come, if famine should come, if earthquakes should come, if Holocaust should come, I put my confidence in the Almighty God for myself and my family. In the meantime, I pray for all I'm worth, for those that are in authority over me, that they would exercise wisdom, godly wisdom, and godly judgment. You see, our God cares about us. You and me and those who are related to us in the Spirit are precious to God. Precious to God. Let me show you something here. So I put my hands on it. Psalms. Chapter number 116, verse number 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, some might read that with the interpretation to say that the death of one of God's children is special to Him. That's not what that means. It means precious like a jewel, costly, expensive. Expensive to the Lord is the death of His saints. Costly to the kingdom of God is the death of His saints. And I know that God is not going to spend my life foolishly. I know that God is not going to spend the life of my sons foolishly. I know that God is not going to spend the life of my brothers and my sisters foolishly, because precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! God loves us. You think He's going to make us cannon fodder? Precious in the sight of God is the death of His saints. I believe that should the time come that we would have to face even that kind of death, that God would give us the same kind of grace He gave Stephen. Exactly the same kind that He gave Jesus. Exactly the same kind as He gave Peter and Paul. But until that time, beloved, We need to pray. We need to believe God. Let me read one other psalm to you. Turn, you're there in the Psalms. Turn to Psalm 85. You see, God didn't say if my people would humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, I'd hear them from heaven and I would heal them and forgive them and heal their land. He didn't say that because he was playing word games with us. He meant it. We have good standing in heaven. We have rights and privileges in the kingdom of God. Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath, and thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. My Bible tells me about the patriarch Abraham in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, and how God said he was going to destroy the cities of Sodom and of Gomorrah. He was going to utterly destroy them. And Abraham said unto God, would you do that if there are 50 righteous men in the city? Surely the God of all the earth will do right. And God said, no, if I can find 50 righteous there, I will not destroy the city. Abraham said, well, God, if you find only 45 righteous there, would you not spare the city? And he said, yes, if I find 45 righteous there, I will spare the cities. And Abraham said, well, let me ask you again, God, if you only could find 40 righteous men there, would you still spare the cities? Yes, I would spare them for the sake of 40 righteous men. And Abraham continued his intercessory prayer, and that's what he was doing. He wasn't negotiating. He was interceding for two wicked cities. And he said, God, if you could find only 10 righteous men in the cities, would you spare them? And he said, yes, I would spare them for only 10 righteous men. Now, you know the cities were not spared. That tells me there weren't 10 righteous men in the two cities, because God had made a promise that for 10 righteous, he would spare the city. What do you suppose he would do for the United States of America if the righteous that are living in our country would stand up and intercede before God for it? What do you suppose he'd do if he saved two wicked cities for the sake of 10 righteous men? He says, I am the Lord God, and I change not. You and I have power in the realm of intercessory prayer unto God. We have power and influence in the councils of heaven. And I think it is safe to say that there are many in our government who either do not believe in prayer or do not know how to pray. But we do, don't we? We know how to pray. We know what God has promised us. And I'm not talking about one prayer. I'm talking about continual prayer. Now, I want you to step out of your chairs and I want you to get on your knees. Every one of you, children, adults, I want us to agree together concerning our nation, concerning those that rule over us. Father, we come before you as your church, as your righteous ones. We obey your word, our Father, and we lift up our nation to you, Lord. We lift up all of the nations of the world, our Father. We ask you to move powerfully and peaceably in the councils of men. We pray, our Father, for our President and our Secretary of State, our Secretary of Defense, Father, our military leaders, those in our military establishment, Father, all of our soldiers and sailors, all of our armed forces, Father, we pray for them. We ask you to strengthen them by the power of your Spirit, Father, and allow your counsel to flow through them, Lord. Cause them, Father, to fall upon their knees and seek the counsel of the Almighty God. We make intercession for them, Father, that your perfect will would be done in their lives, and that we might live a peaceable life on the earth, that the gospel of Jesus Christ would go forth unhindered and without any kind of obstacle, in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we intercede in the Spirit for our government, for our nation, and for the nations of this world, knowing not how to pray, but knowing that your Spirit maketh intercession through us according to your perfect will.
Yando finabo, shato ke mano, yato mita, shefo tanaboka, shura karite monvano botakeya, yura kamura karan shefiratia, shota ma.
We have confidence in you, Father. We know that you raise them up, Lord, and you pluck them down. We have confidence, Father, in you and your perfect will. We know that you provide for us, Lord, that you preserve us, and that you look after us. We put our confidence and our hope in you.